You would please turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll begin there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is our missions month, and we desire as a people to be obedient to that great commission in preaching the gospel in all the world. And we achieve that goal by either us personally going to a corner of the world, but it's not possible for us all to be in the same place at the same time. For some, we are called to go to a specific place and preach the gospel. And for those that are to remain within the local church, we have the opportunity of supporting missionaries, helping these ones that are plastered on our back walls here, missions boards that represents the various ministries that we invest in. So we'd like to encourage you towards that end during the course of this month. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is seeking to provide some instruction for the church at Corinth to encourage them to be involved in supporting ministries outside of their context. The work there in Jerusalem was in need of support, and he encourages a missions offering. And let's read verses 3 to 5 here of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the third verse reads, "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye should be ashamed of this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." Let's bow for prayer. O God, I pray in the power of your Holy Spirit that you would cause each one of us to submit to your guidance and your leadership in reaching the regions beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray, amen. In chapter 8 of this book, we noted last Sunday evening that the Apostle Paul uses the example of the churches of Macedonia, and was trying to encourage this church, the church at Corinth, to honour that commitment they made in word by giving a love offering, a missionary offering to help that ministry there in Jerusalem. Now we move into chapter 9, and following a number of principles that he uses or he shares with this church, we find here in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul gets wonderfully practical in that he might be able to encourage this church to have a part in helping this work there in Jerusalem by providing funds for that ministry there in Jerusalem. Now we've just read verses 3 to 5, and these verses in essence make reference to the fact that the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage this church, this group of believers, to plan ahead and prepare. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm going to send Titus, and I'm going to send some brethren to you to collect this offering. And then note that at the end of verse number 5, he said, not as of covetousness. I'm not being covetous here. This is not an issue of me wanting your money, said the Apostle Paul. But we want you to do what you said you would do. You said you would provide a missions offering for this needy ministry there in Jerusalem. Well, it's about time you do something about it. So verses 3 to 5, we see that the Apostle Paul encourages them to plan. It's been well said that a goal without a plan is just a wish. A goal without a plan is just a wish. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, you need to be prepared and you need to plan. And I'd like to encourage you as you and I consider our part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. A goal without a plan is a wish. In other words, you and I need to plan to be involved in missions. We need to plan to be involved in missions. See, this group of believers here in Corinth said the right things, but a year has passed and they've done nothing about it. And the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I'm not being covetous. I'm not after anything for myself. You said you would help this ministry there in Jerusalem. Don't you think you need to do what you said you would do? In fact, I'm going to push you along by sending you Titus and some brethren to collect the offering. They didn't have direct debit back in those days. So he provided personal direct debit, and he said, I'm going to send them. They're on their way. They're on their way, so you guys just need to get your act together and do what you said you would do and prepare that boundary, prepare that offering so we can take it to that needy ministry there in Jerusalem. So I'd like to encourage you first and foremost this evening concerning being involved in the missions program of this church, that I'd like to encourage you, plan. Plan to be involved. Don't just go with the flow, so to speak, or what happens, will be, all these ridiculous little statements that float around. No, you and I need to plan. Jesus Christ has given us a great commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is not just going to happen. We need to plan to be involved in reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't possibly all go to the four corners of the earth, but we can support others that are prepared to go. But we need to plan to be involved in the missions program of this church. Now note then verse number 6, beyond encouraging these believers to prepare this offering, to plan and prepare for this offering, he encourages them in verse number 6 by saying, he that which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So the Apostle Paul encourages these believers to plan to be involved in providing a missions offering. Plan to be involved. Be prepared. Plan to be involved. But then he went on and he shared a promise from the Word of God. We will reap in proportion to what we give. You cannot outgive God. God promises to provide our needs. And God is saying to you and I, from the inspired Word of God, if we sow sparingly, if we are stingy, we will reap sparingly. But if we will sow bountifully, if we will give with a right spirit to the work of God, God is no man's debtor. God will provide your needs. God will provide my needs. Look at verse number 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food. God will provide your needs if you put missions number one. And then note, it also reads, and multiply your seed sown. So what you give, God promises to compound that. God promises compound interest. Interest ain't awfully good today in our banks. But rest assured that God's interest is always good. And it's always compound interest. So God said, look, if you will give as I call you to give, I will provide your food. I will meet your needs. And I will multiply your seed sown. So whatever you give, God said, I'm going to compound that. I'm going to give you
I'm going to multiply that seed. And then note there at the end of verse 10, and increase the fruit of your righteousness. This is in reference to spiritual growth. As you and I get involved in giving to missions, God promises to provide our needs. And God promises to give more than what we give. And God tells us that you will also grow spiritually. Your righteousness will excel. God will do a work of grace in your heart. Because giving to missions, giving beyond the tithe, is a work of faith. It's what the Bible refers to as grace giving. So God will do a work within your heart, and God will cause you and I to grow into His likeness as we trust God and we give as God calls us to give for the cause of world evangelism. So the Apostle Paul encourages these believers, plan. In verse 6 and 10, I promise you that God will meet your needs. You don't need to fear of going hungry by putting God first. Remember what Elijah said to that poor widow that was about to prepare her last meal? Elijah said, you take care of me first and you will never lack. And God honored that. God honored that. Now, how do we plan to give to missions? Well, note here a couple of principles here in verse number 7. Verse 7 begins with the word every man. Every man. This issue of giving to missions, being involved in the missions program of the church, is a personal issue. It's a personal issue. God deals with us as individuals, even though we collectively give our offerings to the work of God, and we collectively as a church support missionary projects, it's an individual issue. Salvation is an individual issue, is it not? We are saved by the grace of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, and child must come to that point of acknowledging, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And now I repent of my sin, and I receive Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Salvation is a personal issue. Your part in world evangelism is a personal issue. Every man. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he's saying, every man. He's saying that you need to personally take responsibility and be involved in giving this missions offering. So I'd like to encourage you, church family, every man. Instead of looking over the fence at the person seated beside you or behind you or in front of you. No, look at yourself and say, okay, what is it that God wants me to do in reaching this world for Jesus Christ? Every man. So in giving to missions, in planning to give to the missions work, we must understand and be mindful it's a personal issue. But also note there, in verse 7 it reads, every man according as he purposeth. Though we can encourage you to be involved in supporting missionaries, ultimately it is the Lord that will guide you. Every man purposeth. God has something unique that He wants each one of us to do in this area of missions. Being a missionary, supporting missionaries. Every man purposeth. And it goes on to read then verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So what's that referring to? Well, as we plan to be involved in the missions program of the church, we need to take personal responsibility. I need to not be fussed about what God wants so-and-so to do for missions or what God wants so-and-so to do for missions. What does God want me to do for missions? Every man purposeth in his heart. And that's simply referring to the fact that God will place upon your heart his purpose for you. Every man purposeth in his heart. In other words, God will specifically guide you as to your part in supporting missionaries. Don't expect me to tell you what to give. Now, I'd love to tell you what to give, but that's not my responsibility. That's God the Holy Spirit. I think he can do a far better job because he knows where you're at and he has a purpose for your life. And let every man purpose in his heart. So, Pastor, what shall I do in reaching this world for Jesus Christ? Well, don't ask me, ask God. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's my part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ? 7 billion people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do? And God is faithful, who has every hair on our head numbered. He knows everything about us. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And God is able to guide us accordingly. So you need to spend time with God. And you need to say, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe you want me to go to Africa and preach the gospel. Maybe you want me to go to the Congo and preach the gospel. Maybe you want me to go to Germany and preach the gospel. God, what do you want me to do? And more so, how can I do my part in helping others to go? So this issue of this mission's offering, and notice that nowhere does the Apostle Paul tell this group of believers what to give. But he's simply encouraging them, hey, you guys said that you would help this ministry there in Jerusalem, this missions work in Jerusalem that is now a missionary work. Once again, it was the hub of Christian activity, but now they're in need. Now they need your support. You said you would help them a year ago and you've done nothing about it. But yet in all that, the Apostle Paul doesn't tell them, I expect that you blokes need to raise so much money. No, you don't read of that, do you? Every man purposeth in his heart. And I'd like to encourage you, as you prepare to be involved in the missions program of this church for this coming missions year, I trust that instead of focusing upon the budget, the figures, that you'll focus upon the Lord. And say, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a bit scary, isn't it? Talk to me. Yeah. Something very comforting to look at figures and say, well, I could afford that very comfortably. And that's not how it works. That's your look at the figures for the tithe. That belongs to God. That's God's first 10%. It's simply saying, God, thank you for allowing me to turn an income. So I'm going to give you my tenth. Simply say, thank you. And to go beyond that, it's a step of faith. And let every man purpose in his heart. So I'm not going to tell you what to give to missions. But I trust that you and I will pray and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Apostle Paul didn't tell this group of believers what to give. But he gave them some principles on how to go about putting together an offering. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. Note the next little phrase then, verse 7. So let him give. In other words, make that commitment. So whatever God has led you to give, honor that commitment. So let him give. So if God has laid upon your heart to give so much towards world evangelism, then you and I need to honor that commitment. And this is what we call faith, promise, missions, giving. We seek God, Lord, you guide me what to give. And we trust God to provide that by faith. It has nothing to do with the budget. It has everything to do with God's leadership. So we trust God to provide that. And we give. So let him give. Now, the problem with this church was they promised to give, but they didn't give. A year's passed. These poor believers there in Jerusalem were in need. And Paul said, what's up with you blokes? You've got a good heart and you want to help, but you've done nothing about it. A year's passed. So now he writes to exhort them to get involved in giving their offering, but nowhere does the Apostle Paul tell them what to give. He just simply encourages them to spend time with God and let God guide you. And when God guides and God lays on your heart what you and I are to do for world evangelism, so let him give. Our missionaries deserve commitment, do they not? They deserve commitment. And they deserve a church family that is prepared to say, yes, we will support your ministry, and here it is. That involves some planning, involves some preparation, that involves some commitment. So let him give. So whatever God leads you to do for world evangelism during this missions year, my friend, let me encourage you. Be committed. So let him give. How? Look at verse 7 once again. Not grudgingly, but grudging the fact. Supporting missionary work. Or of necessity. Do you think God needs your money? Talk to me. No, don't insult God. God wants to bless you and I. Or of necessity, for God loveth a what type of giver? Cheerful giver. I'm convinced there are some people that sit in the pews and they just hope that maybe they'll forget about the offering today. Maybe they'll run out of time and leave the offering out. No, 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 we'll never leave the offering out. We're a Baptist church. Always have an offering. So we want you to be blessed. We want you to be blessed of God. God loveth a cheerful giver. And really, if you're not going to give cheerfully, maybe you're better off keeping your begrudged coins. And note then verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God will provide your needs, that ye, always having all sufficiency, note the wording here, in all things. God's no man's debtor. So let me encourage you to be involved in world evangelism by supporting missionaries. And Lord willing, next Sunday we'll take up our Faith Promise missions cards. And we want you to personally seek God and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do in reaching this world for Jesus Christ? And rest assured, God will lay, I'll be wonderfully practical, God will lay a finger upon your heart and it will haunt you. Yes, it will. It will follow you around. You might try to brush it off, but you know, it'll follow you around, and that is God speaking to your heart and say, I want you, my child, to give by faith this, and I'm going to provide it for you, if you'll trust me, towards world evangelism. Don't worry. I'll provide you food. And I will pay back with compound interest. And you will grow spiritually as a result. As you trust me to provide, and as you selflessly give, I'm going to make sure that your needs are all provided. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan. So let me encourage you during the course of this coming year, I trust that you and I will do our part in missions, in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. We can't all go. We could go to one place and praise God if you're willing to go, but we can at the same time be supporting all of these missionaries. But you and I need to be prepared to be involved. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So that's our encouragement this evening. And then you move into chapter 10, and the Apostle Paul makes reference to some spiritual qualities that ought to accompany our involvement in world evangelism. And note then verse 1 of chapter 10, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you." Let me encourage you, be Christ-like. This whole issue of being involved in missions, be Christ-like. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul did with these believers, he made reference to the meekness and the gentleness or the graciousness of Christ. Be Christ-like in your involvement in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. Then in verse 2, he exhorted the fact that we need to be careful lest we're carnal. Note that at the end of verse number 2, "which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh." Don't be fleshly, beloved. Your involvement in missions should be a spiritual endeavor, not a fleshly output. Don't be fleshly. And then note there in verses 3 and 4, it reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now these verses make reference to the fact that spiritual warfare needs spiritual artillery. We're in a spiritual warfare, are we not? We're the souls of men, they are eternal. And so spiritual warfare needs spiritual artillery. Prayer, giving, going. This is the nature of the Great Commission. Note then verse 5, "casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When it comes to world evangelism, be Christ-like, don't be carnal. Understand that we need to apply spiritual artillery. We're involved in the spiritual warfare, but also verse 5 reminds us that we need to make sure that we think biblically. Think biblically. For example, Mark 8:36, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That's thinking biblically, is it not? People have an eternal soul. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's thinking biblically. So we need to rid our minds of those thoughts that are not biblical, like God only loves those that love Him. That's not true. That is not true. Talk to me. God only loves those that love Him. No, no, God loves the world. God loves the unlovable. That's thinking biblically. And you might not particularly love a particular people group. All of us have a bit of partiality within our soul. But God loves the world. Amen? God loves the whole world. And those people groups that you have little time for, hey, let me remind you, God loves the world. And we ought to love the world. We need to think biblically. Note the verse Verse 6, obedience. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. Sake of time, look at verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not what? Wise. So don't compare. Don't compare with others. You just do what God wants you to do in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. And let me close with verses 15 and 16. It reads, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labours, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Note verse 16. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. So note there in verse number 15, the phrase, when your faith is increased, in the first part of verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. For you and I to be involved in missions giving, it's a faith step. That's why we make reference to faith promise missions giving. We seek God. We ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then we trust God to guide us accordingly. And we, by faith, give as God leads us. And the Apostle Paul said, if you exercise that faith, faith pleases God. Can't please God without faith. The Bible teaches that, does it not? For without faith you cannot please God. It is impossible to please God. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Think about it. Impossible to please God. There's no way you'll please God without faith. So likewise in our giving to missions, it needs to be by faith. And that pleases God. As we give by faith, the gospel will go further. Further. The regions beyond. So let me encourage you to do your part in reaching this world for Jesus Christ. Over 7 billion people in need of the gospel. Let's do our part. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So let me encourage you during this missions year to be involved in world evangelism by doing your part. Even if God calls you to go, even those that are on the mission field, they're supporting missionaries. Well, they should be supporting missionaries. So all of us are to be involved in praying for missionaries and being a missionary where we're at and supporting other missionaries for the glory of God. Let's bow for prayer.